This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And vacation's over, and I need a vacation from my vacation, but we can talk more about that later.
That's always how it works.
I'm so tired. I'm jet lagged. I got a lot of sun. Got a good tan going, though, so happy about that. All right, we're going to jump right in. We have got a very busy show today. Thanks, everybody, for your patience while we took some time off last week. We got a jam-packed week this week, and we're going to jump right in, welcoming to the show the creators of Create Your Own Journey Foundation, a local organization here. Phil and Amanda DuPont are joining us today to tell us all about this. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Yeah, we got the jet lag, too. We just got back from a birthday party in Nashville. Yep.
Yeah, so
we understand your pain.
Yeah. We were all on the East Coast with the humidity, and I feel very blessed to be back on the West Coast where it's a dry heat.
Yep.
So Phil and Amanda, whichever one wants to start, tell us a little bit about the Create Your Own Journey Foundation.
Yeah. So Create Your Own Journey was founded in 2021. Amanda and I, sat down and decided, hey, what can we do to help the community, and what was our passion and who we were really focused on. And we decided to create Your Own Journey. We wanted to create opportunities for youth to grow, build confidence, and feel supported by their community. And how we do that is really just by using sports, mentorship, wellness, and anything that helps them build confidence, character, and life skills. So a big focus is in the sports phase of things right now, but like I said, we help them out not only on the field, but in the community and just in general.
So talk to us a little bit about that. It's sports focused, but does it have a broader reach then, just kind of using sports as the avenue to get there?
Yeah. It uses sports, and then coach mentorship is a big thing. And then just staying active, keeping your wellness up, and then just making sure that, everybody's invited, everybody's included. It doesn't matter if you're a beginner in sports or, a very high athletic abilities, right? We just want to make sure you stay active and stay connected with, people in your community and your mentors.
Give them a place to be part of something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what that's great, Amanda. I was going to ask you too. So, what is it about specifically sports that teaches kids that are really real life lessons as they mature and grow up?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So when they, obviously sports is a big thing, right? Like I knew when, I was growing up that, I had my parents there, but my parents had to work a lot, right? So, I would be at home by myself. So how could I get out there and learn just some stuff from the community and stuff from, mentors? And I really looked up to my coaches at the time to like, hey, mentor me, treat me, obviously treat them with respect, and I get treated with respect back, and make sure that I stayed on the straight and narrow. Right. So that's what we want to do to some of these kids in the community that definitely don't have that, whether it's the parents are always working or the parents aren't involved. We want to make sure that they, that they have a mentor and, or they stay on the straight and narrow and make sure that they're doing the right things.
Keeps them out of trouble.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So how many kids are you mentoring now?
Right now we're mentoring. So we just opened up a hitting facility, so a training facility out in West Salem.
Okay.
Right now we have about 300 kids that we're mentoring that come in and out.
Oh, wow.
And, they're not there every day, but, throughout the week that we have about 300 kids that come in there per week that we're, working with and mentoring and, coaching up. And that's just on the training side of things. We also have, local nonprofits that we work with, that we actually have them into the HIT lab to be able to share that space with them so that they have they could come in there and work out and, play games and just have fun.
Nice.
Yeah, during spring break, we had Dream Center come join us, and that was really neat for some of those kiddos. Never had been able to really, they'd never played baseball at all, and a few of them really enjoyed it. Some of them said, "Nope, I'm going to stick to soccer." So,
and then we set up the soccer area for them, and they just play soccer the whole time. So, it's cool to be able to help and give back to those kids in the community, and just make sure that, you know, they have somewhere to go and, you know, someone to talk to. So
nice. So in addition to this, you also do like backpack drives and toy drives. There's scholarships and sponsorships. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So in August, we have our back to school golf tournament. So what we do is we have every team bring 4 bags apiece, and then we raise money on top of that to be able to get the school supplies, more bags for certain kids in the area that, you know, obviously can't afford them.
Sure.
And then we do pick anywhere from 5 to 10 kids to be able to take them out and, you know, get them new schools to make sure that they're confident heading into the school year and with all new stuff. So that's August, I think, 14th. And, you know, we have all the different businesses in the community that help out with that. You know, and everybody buys into, like, hey, making sure that everybody gets a bag, everybody gets, you know, their stuff that they need for school.
And there's no way we could do it without those sponsors either.
Do you want, so you've got sponsors. So are there opportunities for folks that are listening to the Say Local businesses that are hearing this, hearing your heart for these kids, and they want to sponsor, they want to help? How can people get involved?
We have a couple of different ways they can get involved. Obviously, our social media is probably always the best way to just find any updates or anything that is going on currently or anything further events that are coming up. But definitely through our social media platforms. We also have a website for both the HIT Lab as well as Create Your Own Journey. They can find us on there as well, or they can always contact us directly at the HIT Lab as well.
Yep. And most of our Instagram page and Facebook page, it'll have, you know, a direct either messenger and or it usually has my cell phone number on there. So people usually reach out to me, call me, text me, you know, if they're uncomfortable calling. So anything like that, we usually just, you know, get back to them within 24 to 48 hours. And if you want to go check us out, createyourownjourney.com. That's another way to go check us out. And then cyojhitlab.com is our website that we have currently being worked on. It's almost done, I promise. You know how those website people, it takes them a while to get all the back end stuff done. So
Yep. Well, again, as always, I know if a lot of folks are driving them. I will go ahead and link all this up in show notes when we put out our the podcast again. If you missed it or you want somebody to hear this, we stream on all the big platforms. So real quick, Phil and Amanda, before we're almost out of time, real quick, any last message you want to make sure that the community knows, some words of encouragement or ways that you would like to partner up?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if there's any small businesses out there would like to help, you know, donate money towards Create Your Own Journey Foundation. Like I said, you could reach out to me on the social media pages. You could reach out to me via phone number, email, whatever is easiest for you. Obviously, we're not only looking at just building the CYOJ HIT Lab. We also have a basketball facility going in out South Salem. So we're just trying to make more facilities out there so that kids could come and enjoy them, stay active with their community members. So
we really do think
that. Yeah, we really do.
Yep. Kids have a positive space and positive people around them, they grow and they become good humans. So that's our goal.
And that's our goal for the Salem community. We really want that. And I think that's what most people want, right?
Yeah, good humans? Absolutely. That's a great goal.
Yeah.
We like good humans.
We do. Yep. Phil and Amanda DuPont, again, Create Your Own Journey Foundation. What a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for your involvement and your heart for the community and for the kids.
Yes, we appreciate you, and thanks for having us on.
And thanks, Matt.
Yes, right. Shout out to Matt. All right, everybody. That is, we're going to take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care and Color Tile of Salem.
Alrighty, what a great organization Phil and Amanda have put together. Just the benefit for kids out there.
Well, I go back and, you know, when I was, you know, that age, we always had Boys and Girls Club or there was a school activity or things like that. And over the years, you know, any extracurriculars like a Boys and Girls Club or YMCA, it costs money to be a part of and do the things. And then you know, the schools don't want kids around. They've kind of negated all of their any kind of programs or anything else. And then the sports side of things, I'm sitting there going, they learn teamwork. They learn leadership. I've dealt with so many kids who have made such massive strides in their own self-confidence just by being a part of sports. And I go, and these are things that are lacking in the school system and society as a whole. And what better way these kids have things to go do and be a part of rather than hanging out, you know, on a street corner.
And a teen takeover.
And I just go, you know, and you look locally. It's not like they could even really go and play at parks, as much as they used to be.
That very good point. So this is good. I still always remember sportsmanship is such a big thing. And when you were on, you know, and everyone had to go by and slap the hands, good game, even if you were mad that you lost, but you still had that sportsmanship. You know, and there was honor in that. So I think this is great that they're doing that. And again, like I said, I'll link it all up in show notes. So if you, you know, especially local businesses and sponsorships to partner up with them.
Well, yeah. And the opportunities that arise by having some facilities that, you know, these kids can utilize. And you know, we are in a community that, you know, for as much wealth as in this community, there's also as much poverty. And those are the kids that are really the high risk ones that don't have those outlets and those abilities. And if you know much about even youth sports in this day and age, the competitive level is gotten absolutely ridiculous.
With the parents being the jerks.
I've always said the best, you know, youth sports would be the greatest thing ever if you just got the parents out of the way, because I'm sitting there going, you could take 25 kids and send them out on a field with a ball and they will have the greatest time ever until you put one parent out there to kick and scream and complain that their kid isn't the focal point.
Exactly. And the kids will work it out, the rules and everything else. Amazing. Like we all grew up that way. We're learning how to work everything out. And sports is a great way to do that. So yeah, again, this is Create Your Own Journey Foundation, Phil and Amanda DuPont. So kudos to them. We were all talking about our jet lag because they were over in Florida. I was over in Texas. I was on Cape Cod. It was hot and I forgot how humid it is over there. It was so great to get off the plane and like, it was hot, but it's like 10 times better.
you know, not so bad. You know, the last time I was out that direction, I think I was down in the south and the humidity was so bad that you're literally like tasting the air and you can almost drink it. And I'm going, was it that bad over there?
If you had wet towels and things, they just didn't dry. And you got out of the shower and you're like, I don't know why I'm bothered drying off. But it was also beautiful. We stayed in these little cottages that we stayed in when we were little kids. And my mom and my sisters all went out. And I have to say, they have not been updated since we were little kids. So it was rustic. It was a great trip. And I mentioned that I was going to be in Provincetown for Pride Week or month, and Provincetown did not disappoint.
No, it was quite the adventure, huh?
It was wild. It was wild. I saw lots of American flags. There were lots of pride flags. It was crazy. P-Town. I was going to P-Town when I was a kid, so I fully know what to expect. I think if you don't, it's a little jarring. It's always been an artist community, so it's very flamboyant, very creative. I saw some drag queens that were just like slaying it. I mean, they were like, whoa.
Well, I always just go, it's like the ones that work at the drag clubs up in Portland, this net. They're outlandish. They're characters. Yeah. They're actors playing a role.
Yes.
And
don't think they're women.
Yeah, they're not mentally confused. And I can applaud that, and I can sit there and go, you know, you are entertaining. It's when this belief
and it's for adults.
Yeah.
If it's for adults, fine.
It's adults and entertainment, and it's not a mental health issue. I can sit here and go, I don't have a problem with it.
Off you go. So that was nice. We're touring a lot of the old New England. One of the things I'd wanted to do, did you see Kirk Cameron's movie Monumental by any chance?
If I did, it was quite a while ago.
Well, there is this monument, the monument that he was talking about. It is the something to the founders. Now I'm completely blanking on it. But it's in Plymouth. So mm-hmm. Plymouth is off the Cape, and we had gone into Plymouth. We were going to go, obviously you have to see Plymouth Rock. And I always mm-hmm. say disappointing school children since 1620, it's a rock. So we saw that, but we stopped it, and it's in a neighborhood in Plymouth, and you have to kind of poke around to find it. If you follow me on social media, I put pictures up on it. It's absolutely beautiful. It's talking about the law and faith, and there's four points and four stations on it, and it's made out of granite with then marble inlays. It is breathtakingly spectacular. And so my sisters were there. They didn't know anything about it. So mm-hmm. I told them, and they're now like, ooh, it's like, you need to watch the movie Monumental. So when I posted my pictures, I tagged Kirk Cameron.
There you go.
Like, hey, Kirk, look what I went and saw. But it is spectacular. It is absolutely spectacular. And the history, what is so great, we think we're very young over here. We were in a cemetery, and we went to an old New England cemetery, and you're looking at graves from the 1600s. Mm-hmm. At one point, there was even like the 1500s, but mostly 1600s and 1700s. So all the history, I'd forgotten how much I do love New England, so it was really nice to go back.
Well, and it's so great to go to a place where, yes, the politics are very progressive.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And the mentality there is very similar to what you might see here in Oregon.
Uh-huh.
But
uh-huh.
on the flip side, there is that excitement and that we are a part of a great nation still. And it feels so much stronger than in Oregon. I mean, you sent me over the weekend the post from Governor Tina, who says that we're not going to participate in the 250th birthday in Oregon. It's like... I'm sitting there going, my first thought is, isn't that kind of seditious to sit there and say that we are so not a part of this country, we don't want to celebrate its birthday?
I kind of had a, who the hell do you think you are? You don't mm-hmm. speak for me, lady. Well, you don't speak for half of the state.
And that's such a big difference when you talk about the West Coast versus the East Coast. The East Coast, and you see it, we can talk later about what went on in D.C. over the weekend,
mm-hmm.
but you're seeing there's an excitement and there's mm-hmm. a pride over there, even when they're all excited about the other pride. And
right.
I'm sitting here going, here, it's like, it can only be one or the other. And it's so frustrating when you have leadership that wants to make it that divisive and that partisanship that there's only room for one point of view in this state.
I'm glad you raised that point, because like I said, I saw American flags everywhere. America 250 was there, even in Provincetown. And I also saw the pride flags, which mm-hmm. is to be expected. So, you know, basically, if you don't want to see any of that, don't go to Provincetown. but also, yeah, Massachusetts is extremely liberal, the politics. So that's like, okay, nothing new to me, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm used to dealing with that all the time. But they're participating. There were buntings on all the houses. Red, white, and blue flags, all kinds of stuff. Everybody was excited. I mean, obviously, it's Massachusetts. It's kind of where it all started. But yeah, and I saw that over the weekend with Kotek doing that. And it's like, shame on her. Just shame on her.
Well, and that's such a big difference. I was actually up in Portland over the weekend for dinner with family, and didn't participate, but listened to a conversation of a couple of neighbors talking politics. And I'm just sitting here going, that mentality that, yeah, there might be people out there that support, you know, Donald Trump and this and that, but they won't say anything in the Portland area. And I'm going, and there's the big difference. You know, you talk about coexisting. The East Coast actually does coexist,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
where on the West Coast, it's like, if you don't coexist with what they say you can coexist with, you might as well get the heck out of here, because you're not welcome and you're not wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely a different vibe, obviously, over there. And and again, if this is adult entertainment, adult things, adult themes, and seeing both side by side was great. Real quick, I want to thank Mike and Brad for letting me know it's Monument of the Forefathers. Okay. And I knew that, and I'm jet lagged.
That's right.
And I got a lot of sun.
That's right. you saw it in person. You don't have to remember the name. Come on.
I know. And it was spectacular. But, you know, all in all, it was a great trip. I have to say, too, kudos to Alaska Airlines. I was dreading flying.
Mm-hmm.
Easy peasy, great flight. No weirdos, nobody acting up. Everybody, got on and got off in an orderly manner. I was shocked, I tell you, shocked.
What? Was there anybody in their pajamas and, you know?
No, what? Not that I noticed. Yeah. Not that I noticed. Everybody was very pleasant, very kind. Most people stayed in their seats before disembarking instead of like the pop-up and everybody jams. I was pleasantly surprised because when you see all those videos of people behaving badly and it's like, oof, I did not have that experience.
That's the most annoying part of all of it to me. The moment the flight literally touches down and you're supposed to stay seated until we reach the thing. Half of the flight stands up, and then the moment the plane stops, the other half stands up, and you're just sitting here going, now I have this sweaty person towering over me as I'm just trying to sit here and relax, knowing it's going to be a half hour before I get off this plane.
And I wonder if at least Alaska Airlines, if people are getting the memo, most people didn't do that. It was surprising, and it moved smoothly, and we all got off, and it was great. And I got to say, driving in Boston, I did most of the driving, was harrowing. Mm-hmm. A little scary, but the big dig is done. And so we were in all the tunnels and everything, and it was very cool. Anyway, I would say it would be great if you get a chance to go back because of just the history and American history and everything. I mean, you know, the revolutionary history and the founding, of course, the monument of the forefathers, to go back and see that and to bring the kids. It's amazing. I'm suggesting this to you, Hunter. Bring the whole family to Cape Cod.
There you go. Well, at some point, you know, we have so much going on right now. I know. It's summertime. It's wedding season. It's this and that. Yeah. I think I've got a high school reunion this summer. I'm just going,
we're kind of
getting jam packed. And of course, you know, being out here every day from noon to one.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
That too. All right. We are coming up on the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk on the other side. This is one of the books that I read on the plane. It's a book called Oregoners. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be chatting with author Dennis Neal, who's calling us from Florida.
Florida. Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. It was a good book, kind of reliving everything that we all live through. So we're going to talk to him more about that and how he decided to write this book.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Monday. Like I said, I was traveling. One of the books in my backpack that I was reading over this trip was a book called Oregoners, How One State Chased Away Businesses and People. And I want to welcome to the show the author of that book, Dennis Neal. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Denise. It's great to talk to you. It's a glorious Monday.
Yes, it is. It's beautiful. And I'm out of the humidity of the East Coast. You, unfortunately, are not. But... So Dennis, you are an East Coast guy. Your book argues that progressive policies have eroded Oregon's quality of life. You cite surging homelessness, crime, economic stagnation as drivers for businesses and high earners leaving the state. Hunter and I do a talk show out of Salem Kaiser. We know exactly what we were talking about. When I was reading through the book, I'm like, yeah, I remember that. You spent a lot of time on logging and timber and the spotted owl, but talk to us about, you know, what was the genesis of looking at Oregon and then said, you know, you got to write this book?
Yeah. Why would a guy who lived in Brooklyn for 43 years come pick on Oregon instead of going after New York? Well, you know, in New York, which I left only in January and moved down to South Florida, where I started my career and where I grew up, you know, wanted to help take care of my 88-year-old mom. New York is so big that nothing's ever going to really destroy it. And it takes a longer time for the bad effects of bad policies to show up. In Oregon, though, it's so small and concentrated. The Portland area is 65% of the whole media market for the state, that the bad outcomes show up in sharper relief and they show up sooner. And that's certainly what's going on in Oregon. My gosh, you must have felt like channeling Roberta Flack and I'm killing you softly with my song. Also, there's another reason. As an outsider, you come in and you see things with a total fresh pair of eyes, and You know, in the 1970s, as I mentioned in the book, there was the Rosenhan experiment. They put sane people in 11 insane asylums to see if the doctors could identify sanity in an insane environment. Well, that's kind of what's happened to Oregon. They've gone crazy, and they no longer can see it. So they needed an outsider like me to come in and diagnose their problems.
Interesting. Well, I
that at least
book...
is my story.
Like, okay, and you're sticking to it. But you did extensive research, and also you bring receipts. You back this up by actual facts, data, and numbers. But you talk to a lot of sort of the movers and the shakers and the people that have been in Oregon politics and policy, the policy world, for a long time.
You know, this is what really struck me, okay, because I made my living for 30, more than 30 years as a journalist, where mm-hmm. people don't want to talk to you mostly, and you're trying yeah. to really kind of persuade them to do it. In this case, these people all wanted to talk. And it's not just because it was for a book, because they knew this was going to come out fast. It's because they're really concerned for their state yeah. and they're fed up and they want to do something about it. And so they're violating what I was told were the protocols of Portland Polite and Oregon mm-hmm. Nice. You know, if you can't say something nice, then don't say it at all. But that lack of opposition is what helps get the state into its current problem, this exodus of businesses and jobs and taxpayers. I mean, did you know that stat about after they passed that preschool for all kindergarten yep. tax or whatever, that in the next 3 years, the richest 1,000 richest taxpayers registered in Multnomah County, 310 left after wow. 3 years. That's an incredible defection rate. And so the taxes have gone too high, and yet where you get your services, if your car is broken into in Portland, you have mm-hmm. to go to a website. We're going to send a cop out there. They've got right. cops at 1993 levels. I drove past a place where I was told three fentanyl pills sell for $1. I mean, all of these outcomes, you know, almost $20,000 per student, and yet their fourth graders rate 46th and 48th in reading and math. I mean, so what are you getting for what you spend? You're not getting a lot. And no. even liberal voters are rising up, right? Look at that 83% vote against the transportation tax that Governor mm-hmm. Kotek, you know, pushed through in an emergency session. My gosh, I was shocked at that 83%. Did you expect it to be that overwhelming?
Well, we, you know, just in the circles we travel with and the people we do, I think we had a representative who was also running for governor, Representative Deal, who spearheaded that effort. I think they may have been surprised yeah. with sort of the enthusiasm, especially in the signature gathering. They got, what did they get, Hunter? Like
250,000 yeah. signatures when they needed only, what, 178 or something or uh-huh. 78,000? Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. And once they got the signature gathering, I think the writing was on the wall yeah. on both sides of the aisle that it was going to overwhelmingly go down. The question was going to be is what did voter turnout really look like?
Yeah.
Right. And well, that's why Governor Kotek very shrewdly and cynically bumped that ballot initiative up to May because she didn't want that hated thing appearing next to her name as she ran for re-election.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Nope. No, she didn't. One of the things I thought was interesting, Dennis, is the folks, I mean, you talked to everyone you talked to Betsy Johnson, I know her.
I
she's
love
very
her.
Candid. Yes, she's very candid. And she's, is she still an independent now? I think she's an independent now. She was yep. a longtime Democrat, though, but one of the
yes,
sane ones.
But a conservative Democrat, which is yes. kind of like a unicorn. My gosh, uh-huh. they're so
oh,
rare.
Absolutely.
And, you know, without her in the race, I'm really interested to see if Christina can end up becoming the first Republican elected governor since 1982. You know, on the Pauley Market betting site, mm-hmm. she's given only a 14% chance right now. I think I might put, you know, $100 into that because I really think she could end up winning. I don't mean to direct your show. I should listen more to you and ask questions. But it suddenly occurred to me how fun that would be. It would send a message to Democrats across the country. Guys, you've got to swing back to the middle. You're getting too crazy.
Well, like you said, when even those on the, I wouldn't say maybe the left, but liberals are seeing this and realizing, and they're leaving as well with all the outcomes and
yes.
all the money that's being spent on homelessness and education, and the outcomes are, they just keep getting worse.
Yeah, well, you know, $727 million in 1 year in the Portland metropolitan Tri-County area for 18,000 homeless people. That works out to $40,000 a person. But, of course, they don't give it to them and let them change their lives. No, they hand it to NGOs and the NGOs that would put themselves out of business if they solved the problem. I had a driver who himself was homeless in the early 2000s, and he was, you know, now has his own car service company. He's doing great. Mm. And he said, the problem is that here we try to make life on the streets as comfortable as possible when the opposite approach is needed. You must make life on the streets as miserable as yes. possible to get them off the streets. And homelessness went up in the Portland area. Was it 64% in 2 years? Mm-hmm. It's as if they're coming to take advantage of the freebies and the handouts and the et cetera.
Oh, yeah. We know that Oregon is a homeless destination. It is where they encourage people to come, get the freebies, do the free drugs. You know, we'll take care of you. And we always kind of joke that Oregon is the petri dish of the United States. Any bad policy they ever want to try, they start in Oregon because, you know, let's be honest, most of the East Coast doesn't even know, couldn't find Oregon on a map.
How is it that a state founded on such incredible, brave, independent spirit could turn into this liberal crazy land?
Yeah, I know. With the pioneer spirit, rugged individualism. I know Mayor Mamdani in New York was casting, you know, rugged individualism. That's Oregon. It was. And like you said, we haven't had a Republican mayor since 1982. So I don't know. I think a lot of people are optimistic. There's definitely hope, which is a good thing.
Yeah, it is. Now, I've met Christine Drazen three mm-hmm. different times in person. And mm-hmm. she's a tiny petite thing, this little redhead. I don't know why, mm-hmm. but I end up seeing redheads everywhere in Oregon. I think they ought to organize redheads for Drazen or something. And she's feistier than she was from what I could see from a record of the 2022 campaign.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's good to see. But also look at how Governor Kotek's approval ratings are plunging. Yep. She didn't get the three platforms she wanted to get done, that she made zero progress on any of those three. And in her own Portland home area she represented for 15 years, she's got really bad ratings. And a poll from the Oregonian just showed, what was it, 40% say, oh yeah, I want to leave the area in the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Which, and we look at all that and think, okay, there's hope. But then you get to the other side of it, Dennis, and I don't know if when you were talking to people, there's a certain group of people that are like, I really hate what's going on, but I could never pull the lever or fill in the bubble for a Republican.
Yes, they've been so demonized because of the attachment to Trump. Mm-hmm. And yeah. and yet at the same time, let's remember that I think that, you know, Trump got, do you know this? Trump got more votes in 2024 in Oregon than Tina Kotek got to get elected governor in 2022.
What do you know?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Not surprised.
I mean, that state is more conservative than
oh,
you
yes.
realize.
Yes.
And when even liberals come out against that transportation tax, which I'm told was nothing more than a gift to the government worker unions, you know,
yeah.
that's another big problem in the state, is the government yeah. worker unions run government. I was scandalized by the stuff I learned from some of the political
yeah.
folks I talked to. Yeah, I mean, you guys probably know this because you're there. You see it. You've lived it. But to be told that, hey, says one operative, you know, the union just mm-hmm. geez, last week, this is in the fall, handed in the 2-year budget to the governor's office. Here's the government's budget. And it starts from there. The union did that. I'm told that when someone's elected to the House, a Democrat, on his first day, the union shows up and says, here is your chief of staff. And it's a union person. I mean, incredible influence. They gave Tina Kotek $6 million of her, I think it was a $20 million campaign, largest single, you know, area of donation versus anything else. I mean, if Oregon wants to be first, they should pass a new law saying government worker unions are not allowed to contribute to the political campaigns of the people who approve their contracts and their benefits and salary.
That won't happen.
That would do it right there. Yeah,
yeah, that won't happen. Not as long as the current leadership is there.
Right. But you know what? If Drazen can win, Mm-hmm. It could start a red wave. It would be a shock felt across the nation. And it's not that, I want it all to be Republicans. Look, I was registered Democrat all of my life until just in January when I moved down here. I switched over Republican. I just want to give that a try because the Democrats abandoned me long ago. It's not even that. It's that I want the Republican Party to come back to center and stop being ruled by the most extreme within of the LGBTQ movement, stop being ruled by the most extreme end of let's go socialism and let's lament Elon Musk and his wealth and let's seize his money because he's not allowed to have that. Change their name to the Socialist Democrat Party.
They really should just make it official, shouldn't they?
Yeah, well,
I mean, I can't believe it. AOC endorsed four members of the the Democrat Socialist America, the group that backed Mom and Donnie, and she did four of them for the state legislature. They are now baring their claws and showing what they really want. They really are socialists. They're upset that Elon, became the first trillionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he didn't take the money from them. They're the ones who are taking our money and getting rich themselves.
So quick question for you then, Dennis, because we sit here and all of this seems as obvious as the noses on our faces, but yet, like you said, the left keeps voting for these same policies that clearly don't work. The outcomes make their lives more miserable, but yet they can't break out of the bubble they're in? Because people want to say, they're really dumb. Well, they're not dumb.
No, but they're brainwashed. It's that insane environment that they've been in for so long. And you know what? There are a lot of issues that make you feel good about yourself because you voted for that. And they've been able to, it's what Dan Levy, a Republican operative there, calls the nationalization of local politics. Kotek is failing on all of the key issues she ran on, homelessness, mental health, education. She's failing on all of that. And so she runs against Trump. I'm keeping the state safe from Trump. Give me a break. 200 troops to ICE would have been a crisis. Who cares? It was under siege for 100 nights. What's so wrong with that? That's when I was getting ready to interested in doing the book. When I saw every official came out against that, and I just thought, you people are crazy.
Yeah.
Bad stuff is going on there at night from 2 dozen people. You got to roust them out of there. The locals won't do it. So send in the guard. But no, they went to court to stop it. It was a huge victory. How does that help your people have lower taxes, have better jobs? It doesn't. They've lost their way. And Trump is the only thing they have. And guys, isn't that kind of true for the entire national party? Do the Democrats have an agenda at all other than, whatever he wants, we got to oppose it?
Orange man bad.
We're going to find out in 2 years when Trump is not on the ballot any longer. That's when we're going to see what they really are about.
Yes,
they just
can't
quit them. They're going to still be talking about them all the time, aren't they? Mm-hmm.
They are. Dennis, we're just
about copy. He's good copy.
He is, and that is all they have. Before we let you go, I want to talk about, you talk about a canary in a coal mine, and one of the things you talk about, sort of the exodus of sort of trust, brain trust and treasure fleeing the state, that giant sucking sound, as Ross Perot would say. Some of them are going to blue states, some of them are going to red states. What do you do you have any advice for the red states that are getting some of the people? It's kind of like, don't bring your crazy voting patterns to our state.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you wonder whether they ought to pass rules forcing them to spread out so they don't turn into a liberal version of, Somalia in Minneapolis or something. It turns out that in a recent 10-year period, $2.1 trillion of cumulative income moved from blue states into red states.
Yeah.
And $1.2 trillion of that was Florida alone. And look at what DeSantis is doing now, where there's a measure on the ballot to eliminate most non-school property taxes for maybe 60% of homes with the first move, or 30% of homes, and then maybe a year later, 60% of homes. Incredible stuff going on. And the Democrats, they have to get a clue. They have to start losing elections. That's the only thing. And like you said, if they just keep reelecting the same people who are doing the bad things without punishment, without considering outcomes, it'll never change. But it could change this November with that governor election. It'll send a message to the Democrats across the country. Let us pray.
Amen. Amen. Well, I can't recommend your book highly enough, Dennis. It's a good read. It is packed with a lot of statistics and data, but it's immensely readable.
Could you just rephrase it and say, I recommend your book so highly. Will you say that so there's no can't word in there, no don't? Say, I recommend your book highly. I'm just kidding you. Thank you so much, Denise. You're a great interviewer, a great conversationalist.
Well, thank you, Dennis. And again, I will link up everything for readers, encourage them to read the book. Again, the book is Oregoners, How One State Chased Away Businesses and People, author Dennis Neal. What a pleasure. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you. Have a glorious day.
You too. All right, we're going to take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
I think Dennis would appreciate Cozy's, being an old Brooklyn guy.
Well, we might have to send him some. You know, you think it'll hold up over the cross country?
In fact, next time, because when we said goodbye, he's on my speed dial now. Because I think throughout this election, and again, I know he's a guy formerly from Brooklyn. He's living in Florida, but he's done a lot. His website is oregonersbook.com, and of course, you can get it as Amazon and wherever you buy your books. But he's got his finger on it, and he backed it up. I mean, he has the receipts for this, for what he's claiming.
And the numbers don't lie. I mean, that's the problem that so much. And I had these conversations this week. And like I said, I went up to Portland for dinner one night, you know, not downtown Portland, thank goodness, you know, a suburb area. But having that conversation in the car of why are people kind of so built into what their political stance? And I'm kind of going, well, part of it is that society has made politics a part of who you are. And it used to be, you know, growing up, yes, there would be political conversations, but it wasn't the cornerstone of your foundation. And so many people now, politics are who they are. Mm-hmm. And the idea that they've been wrong about something politically, whether it was COVID, whether it was Biden, whether it was anything you want to point at.
Transing your kid.
Yeah, whatever it is. If they admit that they were wrong about this one thing, it may shake them fully down to their core. And their whole life outlook has to be assessed if they admit to one incorrect approach.
And I think that is kind of the key here, where it becomes your political view is your personality. It is you. Mm-hmm. And when you're that invested in it, you're right. It could shake you. And that's a scary place for people to be. So when you see, it's like they're doubling down, they're mm-hmm. digging in harder. It's sort of a mental self-preservation thing.
Well, it's like watching any of these protest videos and you're seeing it's a geriatric gathering. Why is it that way? Well, because this is the generation that it was raised to believe everything the nightly news tells you is gospel. Yeah. They would never mislead you. They would never lie to you. And so everything they're seeing, and I saw this over the weekend, an elderly gentleman literally sitting here saying, like, it feels like we're in the 1930s again. No, it doesn't. It doesn't feel anything like the 1930s. But you've been told to believe that by the media.
It's a pretty sad and miserable way to go through life, mm-hmm. honestly. But speaking of that, we only have a couple minutes left. I did not get to watch it, but the, you know, so talk about, there's two Americas where you've got one where everything is like the 1930s, mm-hmm. with the Weimar Republic or, you know, whatever. Then the other side is what happened at the White House last night. I did not see it, but everyone is like, it was like some of the images coming out, like the fighter jets over the, mm-hmm. and it's not AI. I mean, how spectacular and how miserable do you have to be to hate on that?
Well, and it goes back to everything else. It's like, here is a massive event, and of course going into it, you know, how dare he have UFC at the White House and this and that, and then to see the comparatives of June a couple of years ago, where you know, we don't even need to do that one. But I'm just sitting here going, the stark difference. And of course there was a protest concert run with you know,
Bette Midler
and I think Jane Fonda and Miss Rachel were out there literally disparaging everything this country is about.
They're so gross.
Yeah, it was.
They're just gross.
and it was low energy and low excitement. Yeah. And it's like, it's a room full of miserable people that the only issue they have is Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just sit here and go, what a lousy existence.
They have to wake up every day and be them. So,
well, I guess we can celebrate that.
I guess. All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We got a great show for you tomorrow, Real Estate Insights. So have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.